We're on a journey through the book of Matthew, and we're in the fourth chapter, and a section called The Calling of the First Disciples. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father, Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Usually, I have preached this as instructions on what we're to do, that when God calls us to something, we are to immediately follow. And I talk about the sacrifices that these four men made as they gave up their homes and their families and their livelihood. Fishing was more, this was not a hobby. This was the family business that went back generations. Their fathers fished. We even have Zebedee named here. He's still fishing. Their father's father fished. It was the family business for generations, and the extended family depended on it. So when they made the choice to follow Jesus, they weren't just, it wasn't whimsical. This was a tough choice. And that's the way I usually preach it. But you see, we can't leave it there. It didn't end there. The story ends there. In order to find out what happened next, we have to read the entire New Testament and some other things beyond the Bible. We don't get the story in the Bible of each individual disciple's life. We have to look at some other sources to find out what happened to each one of them after this. All we know from this passage is they followed Jesus. Jesus gave them a simple command, follow me. And then he made them a promise, and I will make you fishers of men. You get the pun? They were fishermen. They were to become fishers of men. Okay, it's bad, but it wasn't mine. It was Jesus. A simple instruction and a simple promise. But then the rest of their lives, they were expected, just in these few verses, to do three things, the three F's. To follow, and they did that. Clearly they did that throughout the New Testament. It tells us they went everywhere with Jesus. They listened to his every word. But follow means more than that. It's not just, you know, going along in his footsteps, but listening to what he said. The next few chapters of Matthew give really specific instructions about how to live your life as a disciple. Very specific. But that discipled life, disciplined life, apprenticed life, involves paying attention, listening, and following, and doing likewise, imitating Jesus. There's a famous book called The Imitation of Christ. So how come there are so many people that join the church and never show up again, who are confirmed and stop coming to church because they have to get jobs to support their car habits? Lots of teenagers do that, you know. We have two with us today and every Sunday who haven't done that, who were confirmed, and Roby runs the sound system, and Aiden acolytes every Sunday. Would you give them a round of applause? That's nothing heroic, by the way. It's just what you're supposed to do, right? Right, Aiden? Yeah. If you're a disciple, you're going to show up. You're going to follow. So why is there truth in a comment that G.K. Chesterton made many years ago? He said, Christianity has not been tried and found difficult. It has been found difficult and not tried. Isn't that interesting? Christianity has not been tried and found difficult. It has been found difficult, so it wasn't even tried. And it's true for a lot of people. Many years ago, I was living in England, and Billy Graham came to do a crusade. We heard about it ahead of time. And I was kind of iffy on Billy Graham. I thought, yeah, he goes into places, he does these great big events. People all show up and do the altar call and say they're going to follow Jesus, and what happens next? Do they actually do it? And then, because we were studying at one of the Christian colleges, we were asked to help with the crusade. And we went to be trained to be prayer partners. And I discovered that the Billy Graham crusade was different than a lot of other these crusade kinds of things. They actually prepared in advance and prayed in advance for the people who would make a life commitment to Jesus, and they did follow up. You see, what's missing a lot of times is that people think they have to walk the Christian journey by themselves. But how did Jesus call them? He called them two by two. There were four of them that went to follow him right away. Now, it might be difficult for us to actually follow Jesus because, you know, we can't walk with him the way they did. He's not physically present. But we are present for one another. We can walk the walk together the way they did. It's not so difficult when you have a partner. I think a lot of the reason that teenagers fall away from church, I think a lot of the reasons that adults fall away from church, is that they've never developed that kind of spiritual partnership. They think because they can't follow Jesus himself and be with him, that there is no one to follow. But you see, we can do that with one another. Preaching has often been said to be not an expert talking to other people, but one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. I've found bread here, you can too. And that's what the preaching life is. It's looking for the bread of life and then sharing that information with other people. Because you see, and I know we looked it up the other day, Karen, but I can't remember the name. Somebody has said, and it is often quoted, that Jesus did not call the equipped, he equipped the call. God doesn't call us to do just things that we're ready to do, that we're prepared to do, that we are perfected in. God calls us to do sometimes uncomfortable things, sometimes difficult things, sometimes things we would never, ever expect to do in our entire lives. Like pray out loud in confirmation class. Believe it or not, what you did this morning, confirmands, you're going to do in front of the church someday. And it won't be hard. Because God doesn't call the equipped, God equips the called. Once you are called to do something, God gets you ready and prepares you to do it. Jesus called those four disciples, and as they followed him, he instructed them. It was on-the-job training. And God never leaves us where we were in the first place. God always prepares us for whatever task is put before us to do, even when some of it is the hardest work you've ever done in your life. So that's the first F, follow. The second one is first. The second one is first. I know that doesn't make sense, does it? The second F is make Jesus first. That's probably what Chesterton was thinking about when he said Christianity was thought to be hard. This morning in confirmation, we learned the word yield. So, I'm going to say 1, 2, 3. Class, are you ready? What are the yielding words? Do you remember the four words? You ready? The yielding words are 1, 2, 3. Thy will be done. It's hard. It's hard to make God first. It's hard to say what you want for my life is more important than what I want for my life. This morning with the kids, I used the example that, you know, sometimes I'd much rather play a video game on my tablet than prepare for confirmation class. I didn't tell you that sometimes I'd rather do that than write my sermon. But it's true. And Andrew spoke up and said, well, you can always play the video game later. I said, yeah, that's right. When we yield to God, it doesn't mean we have to give up the things we like if there's no problem with him. It means that sometimes we have to prioritize God over what we want. But here's the thing about putting God first. When we follow Jesus, we always get what we need, even if we don't get what we want. Because there's a difference between wants and needs. Huge difference. The third F is fish. Jesus told them that if they followed him, he would make them fishers of men. This is that part of the Christian life that often seems impossible, especially to people that are shy. How do you witness to somebody else? Does that mean you have to stand on the street corner? Does that mean you have to wear a sign saying, I love Jesus? And show up at Starbucks drive-thru to show that, you know, your love for God? I know one thing it isn't, for sure. That it isn't putting a bumper sticker that says, I love Jesus, on the back of your card and then committing vehicular homicide. That's not a good witness. Pretty much we know what it isn't. We know that when we see it. We know when somebody isn't demonstrating that they're disciples. But how do we witness if we're not as outgoing as Letha Franta? It's more than just your actions, your gentle, kind actions, being a good driver with that bumper sticker on your car, demonstrating what Jesus would do. And by the way, in order to know what Jesus would do, you have to know what Jesus did. You can't predict what Jesus would do in any given situation unless you already know what he did. So reading the Bible is really important, not just guessing at it. But living life as though you were following in Jesus' footsteps becomes a visible witness. Praying for other people, we did learn about intercessory prayer this morning, praying for other people, but more importantly, telling them you're praying for them, or even praying for them in person, witnesses to your faith. Several years ago, I decided, okay, I pray for people all the time. I wonder if they know I'm praying for them. Perhaps I should stop when I say I'll pray for you and just do it right then and there. You know, it's possible to do one-word prayers. It doesn't have to be lengthy. It can be simple and just as meaningful, but somehow there is something incredibly powerful and having somebody come and take your hand and say, let's pray right now. Lord, give Dick courage and strength as he endures teenagers weekend after weekend.
Amen.
Very funny.
Have you been prayed for in person? It feels incredible to have somebody to talk to God over you and bless you in person, face to face. If you haven't been prayed over, stay after church. I'll pray for you. Happily. And I bet some other people would stay with me and pray over you. It's another way we can witness, and it's not a difficult way. And then, of course, there's the witnessing, the fishing for men that has to do with sharing your personal story in ways that show other people that your life has been touched by God, and theirs can be too. There's one way that some people witness that isn't part of my toolbox. And that's that I think some people memorize favorite verses and then aim them at people thinking that will convict them. And often it's interpreted as an attack. You see, witnessing, fishing for people has to do with sharing sometimes the inmost, delicate, intimate part of your life. That's probably why we avoid it, are afraid of it, find it difficult to do. Because it means sharing personally, upfront, personal, and close, and becoming transparent, revealing how much you love about God, how much you're in love with God, and why. That can be hard. But we were told by Jesus, just as the disciples were when he called them, follow me, make me first, and fish. And if we're really on fire for Jesus, fishing becomes really easy because it's an outpouring of the love and devotion that we have experienced and we want to share. I'm fishing. I have 6 tadpoles I'm fishing for in my confirmation class. And I'm hoping that this group, like Roby and Aiden, will take seriously the vows that they make at the end of this confirmation year and choose to continue to follow Jesus. And I ask that you fish with me and pray for them as they make this journey, learning about who Jesus was and what he did, how to follow him, what's required of a disciple, and how to live the rest of their lives. Because, you see, I'm afraid for the young people in our world. If they don't have a strong, authoritative, valid figure like Jesus to follow, if they don't know who they are and whose they are, they'll follow anybody. Let's show them with our lives whose we are, to whom we belong, and who we have put first in our lives. And they won't go astray either. Thanks be to God.